Brother Warren, your message today, so much of it just kind of leads right into what I have to say this morning. The Lord gave me this last night, about a third of it. I came to bed last night and told my wife, I'm done. I'm going to have to finish in the morning. My mind just won't work anymore. I'm standing there looking at the screen. I know what I want to say, and I can't get it to click out of my head the way I want it to. And got up this morning, God just began to kind of guide me through what I feel like he wants you to hear today. I'm going to go to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But before I read that to you, John chapter 1, verse 5. John is writing some great stuff here. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I just want to say, you'll never comprehend the Word. You'll never comprehend the light as long as you're living in the dark. The Bible says the life was the light of the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness couldn't understand the light. And that's why the Lord has called you out of darkness. How many can agree with me this morning that when you receive the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit in you, that when you open up his Word, all of a sudden it speaks to you new and fresh, and there's something, it's life. That's why the Word of God can be twisted by people who are still living in darkness, Brother Warren. They'll twist the Word because they don't understand the Word, because they're not living in the light. They're still living in the darkness, and therefore they can't understand the Word and they can't understand the light. But the Lord has called a people out of darkness into the marvelous light. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. I just want to speak to you for a little while this afternoon, this morning. Light, beautiful light. Amen. Light, beautiful light. You may be seated today. Praise God. What we're finding here in our reading this morning is a brand new creation in its beginning stages. The Bible describes it as a place that was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. In other words, it was still without shape. There was a planet here, but it was empty. It was dark. It was unshapen. Somebody already here this morning is probably relating to what I'm saying in your own life. You kind of feel like the earth was when the Lord first looked down upon it. Your life may be seemingly in a place without shape. You may feel empty. You may feel like you're walking in darkness. Definitely not a pleasant place to be. Especially when God was designing this planet for his most precious creation to inhabit it. But then we find where Genesis tells us that God's Spirit began to move. It began to move where the darkness was at. And when the Spirit began to move, then God began to speak into existence the beautiful thing called light. And it was at this point that the Spirit moved over the darkness and God spoke into existence with four little words, something that has been so important and valuable to us as humanity ever since the day that he created it. He said, "Let there be light." And God divided, God separated, God chased the darkness away with four words. But it wasn't chased away until first the Spirit began to move. Before God can ever speak words of light into your life, first you have to be in a place where his Spirit is moving. You want to know why it's so important to come to a church that allows the presence and the Spirit of God to move like it just moved in here a few minutes ago? I'll tell you why. Because when the Spirit begins to move, then God can begin to speak to your life. God can begin to speak to your darkness. God can say with four little words, "Let there be light," and the darkness from your life has to flee. Light fills this room today. Light allows us to see what it is that we're doing. It's because of light that we are able to move around without stumbling or crashing into one another. Light allows us to be productive. Light allows us to work. Light allows us to move. Can you imagine going to your job somewhere, wherever it is? Now, I drive a truck for FedEx. Can you imagine if there was no such thing as light, how difficult and dangerous that might be, especially if you were walking down the side of the road? Can you imagine those of you that work in the coal mines and you've gotten down there, you know what darkness is really like. You know the importance of having that light on your helmet or those lights strung along the ceiling of that wall. You know what it feels like to be in total and utter darkness. It brings productivity to a crashing halt immediately. Without light, we cannot move. Without light, we cannot be productive. Amen. God saw the light and he said, "This is awesome." Why? Because he looked at the created world that he had put in place for his people that he was going to create, and he realized that it needed the darkness to vanish away in order for his people to live. Brother Carl is here this morning. If you've never met Brother Carl, invite him out to go out to eat with you on a Sunday afternoon. I promise you, you will have a great time. I don't know of anybody that can make me laugh more than Brother Carl Brueggemann. He comes up with some things that just... they have stuck in my mind, some things that he has said. And one of the little nuggets that he gave me several years ago, I thought about it this morning. I was chuckling to myself when we were out to eat. I want to say we were over here at the Chinese buffet one day, and we were sitting down and we were talking, and Brother Carl filled me in on a little bit of his philosophy on bedroom decor. Now, you got to understand, Brother Carl's a bachelor. You know, he everything is functional. It's all about functionality. It has nothing to do with the way things look. You come to my house, my wife has got, the bedspread. If it doesn't match the color that's on the walls, we just might fall to pieces. The pillows all have to be in their proper places. Everything's got to match. We've got stuff up on the wall. But Brother Carl, he begins to explain to me his philosophy. He says, "Here's how I look at things." He said, "You walk into my bedroom. I get up in the morning. I leave my bedroom. I don't come back till it's time to go to sleep at night." He said, "I've got a bedspread that's got a plaid all over it. I've got sheets that have stripes. I've got pillow covers that have floral designs on them." He said, "But the thing that I found out is when I flip off the lights, it all matches." Everything looks the the same in the dark. You flip off the lights and everything looks the same. It don't matter if it's floral, striped, or plaid. When I turn out the lights, he doesn't go in the bedroom to do his work. He goes in the bedroom to sleep, and you don't sleep in the daylight. You sleep in the dark. Yes. Spoken like a true bachelor. Ooh. Now, that's a funny story about something that's relatively insignificant. You can have whatever color you want, Brother Carl. Doesn't matter. But the application for us today is that many live their lives just like that, spiritually speaking. Let the darkness cover my dysfunction. Let the darkness cover my chaos and my confusion. If I just remain in the dark, no one will see how messed up I am. Now, that's not, I'm not talking about you're all messed up there, Brother Carl. I'm just follow me as I'm trying to make an analogy without losing a friend here. I'm talking about serious matters now. We look at the darkness in our sinful state as almost being a friend. We say, let the darkness, when I click the lights off, we let the darkness cover up all of our frailties, all of our humanities, all of our brokenness. And we walk around in the dark thinking that nobody sees and nobody knows what's going on. But I've come to tell you this morning, you were not created to live in the darkness. You were created to live in the light. Before God ever created man, the first thing that he spoke into existence was light, because he understood that the thing that he loved the most, he was not going to put in the darkness. He wanted it to live in the light. Before he ever created man, he created an environment for man to thrive in. You weren't meant to dwell in darkness. As a matter of fact, I cannot find anywhere that the Bible ever tells me that darkness was ever created at all. Darkness simply was, until God showed up. It's simply our nature to be in darkness. The Bible said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we were born into darkness, but God's Spirit began to move, and God's Spirit began to call out our name. And because of that, there have been so many hundreds of thousands that have been called out of the darkness that we were living into the marvelous light, because that has been God's desire all along. Amen. The darkness, lack of order, the emptiness simply was there till the Spirit began to move and God began to speak. God's not afraid of the dark. He's not afraid of your dark. He's not afraid of your frailty. He's not afraid of your problem. He's not afraid of your brokenness. He's not afraid of your addiction. He's not afraid of your shortcoming. He's not afraid of your humanity. He's not afraid of anything about you. God is simply ready and willing to move in upon the darkness of whatever is going on in your life. And his Spirit begins to move over the waters of your spirit. And then and only then can God begin to speak to the darkness. But let me tell you something. When God began to speak to the darkness that's in your life, let me tell you, there will be light in the evening time. There will be something that will be revealed, and God can only help you once he reveals to you what needs to happen. 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, amen, but we are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You'll never obtain mercy in the darkness. You can only obtain mercy by stepping into the light. Mercy. Wouldn't it be better if God just let me remain in this dark place where no one can see my misery and nobody can see my faults? Wouldn't it be better if I never had to reveal my mess by stepping into the light? Friend, that's not mercy. That's not mercy. The darkness only hides the reality. It takes the blood to wash us white as snow. Amen. It takes the blood to cover. The darkness only hides what is really there. But when the blood is applied to somebody's life, it takes the mess. It takes the brokenness. It takes the addiction. It takes the humanity. It takes it all. And it washes it. And it covers it. And it transforms it. But only in the light. Takes the blood to cleanse us from our sin. See, there's a better place that God has designed for you. There's a place where His Spirit moves and His voice is heard. It's a place where new creations are forming. It's a place where young men that have been abused can find their lives transformed and find mercies that are new every morning. It's a place where old things are passed away and behold, all things are becoming new. It's a place where people are stepping out of the darkness and the lies that this world has tried to cram down your throat. Oh, just do this and you'll be happy. Buy this and you'll find peace and joy. Take this and you'll find a little rest for your soul. And it's all lies. There is only one place, amen, that you can find the power, and that is when you step out of the darkness into His marvelous light. God can set you on a place that is a rock, and that rock is named Christ Jesus. It's a place where you can find peace. It's a place where you can find happiness. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Do you know when the lion typically hunts its prey? It's no secret. I Googled it this morning because I was curious. I wanted to try out that Google Home before I gave it to him, see if I wanted one. No, I researched it a little bit. The lion typically goes after its prey in the dark. And it's not because the lion sees better in the dark. It's simply because he is able to sneak up closer to his prey when there's no light. You see, the lion is really not all that fast. The lion relatively gives up pretty quick. One of the things that a lot of its prey do to escape the lion is zigzags. And the lion will usually only attack one time. It will make one attempt. And if it does not get its prey on the first attempt, then it will almost every time immediately give up its chase. Or if its prey zigs left and then zigs back right, the lion just keeps going in a straight line and very quickly gives up. So in order for the lion to have some supper, it must hunt at night so that it can sneak up so close to its prey that its prey doesn't even realize that it's there until it's too late. Let me tell you today, it's dangerous to live in the dark. Amen. There's things in the dark that go more than just bump in the night. You have an adversary that is seeking your soul. Amen. I'm telling you today, get out of the darkness and step into the light. It's safer in the light. It's safer in Jesus Christ. You have a better chance living for God. Now, the lion observes during the day. It's not that the devil doesn't see what's going on. But most of the time, if you're living a strong, godly Christian life, you're living for God, the devil will observe you. But a lot of times, he knows that that you've already laid the line down. You're covered by the blood of God, that you're a child of the light. And so there's a lot of things that he may try to test you a little bit. He may observe what's going on. But it's when you begin to kind of slack off and kind of get into a place where I think I'll sit over here in the shadows. I think I'll sit over here in the shade. I think I'll creep over a little bit more into the darkness. I'm getting a little uncomfortable being in the light. It's a little bit too much for my eyes to handle. Let me tell you something. You're stepping into a dangerous zone when you step into the darkness. We once had the chief of police come and speak at our church many years ago. He was relating some of the things that he had seen over the years of law enforcement. And one of the things that he said that has stuck with me all these years, he'd been in law enforcement for several decades at that point. And he simply stood behind the podium that day and he began to relate some of the wild stories that he had been a part of and some of the things that he had seen. And then he said this, he said, "Nothing good ever happens after midnight." When's the last time you got a phone call at 3 a.m. and you said hello? And it's like on the other end of the line, there's like, "Oh, I just want to call and tell you how much I loved you. How much you mean, I appreciate you." You don't get those phone calls at 3 a.m. If you do, lose that friend quick. No, when the phone rings in the middle of the night, it's so-and-so was in an accident. So-and-so was out drinking. Now they're in the hospital. They need bailed out or all these kind of things. The darkness is full of the chaotic. The darkness is full of emptiness. But I've got good news for you today. There's a spirit moving in this place. And if you listen to his voice, he's calling out. The Spirit is here. Would our music come today? John 12:36 says, "While ye have light," because the light will one day disappear off this earth. You see, there's coming a time when Jesus is coming back from his church, for his church, and he's going to take his church out of here. And then his Spirit is going to lift. It's going to lift from this earth, and this earth will be left to its own devices without no Spirit from God to be here to direct it or to buffet it. The light will be gone. But it's still here today. "While ye have light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light." I may be unborn at night, but it wasn't last night. See, I've come to realize as a 17-year-old young man that I was living in darkness. Had a lot of messed up things going on over the past few years. I'd shamed myself. I'd shamed my parents. I'd shamed my church family. I'd done some things that I couldn't take back. I'd done some things that were never going to change. But the only thing that I had for consolation was I knew what to do to fix it. It wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be something that my flesh would enjoy, but here I was looking at a decision right in the face. The Lord began to deal with me. What was happening? God was showing me. He was lighting, shining the light down on my heart, on my spirit. And he was saying, "Hey, there's some things that are going to harm you bad, son. There's some things I'm pointing out to you that if you don't get a handle on, if you don't change some things, you're not going to last. You're not going to live. And you know if you don't live, you know that you're not saved. You know that you're not ready. Because as much as my flesh enjoyed doing some of the things that it was doing, I knew that it was destroying me. And that if I were to die, I knew what the Word said about my relationship with God, where I was at that point in my life. I thank God today that a preacher stood behind a pulpit and cut me no slack. I thank God that there were men in my life and said, I love you, son, but you're wrong. And you're living wrong. It wasn't that they didn't care for me, but they sure didn't approve of the things I was doing, and that's two different things. And I understood that there were people that spoke, and as they spoke, little shafts of light were shining down upon the darkness of my life. The thing about stepping out of the darkness into the light is it's hard to take sometimes. But a little bit of time, I became more accustomed to the idea of what I needed to do. And the light that I wanted to avoid in previous times began to draw me to a place, and I began to adjust to it. I began to adjust to the thoughts. I began to see the darkness for what it really was. And the light began to reveal who I really was. Had somebody never stood and told me what the Word of God said, I may have still been walking in darkness. But light, beautiful light. Oh. I wouldn't trade this life that I have today for anything that this world has to offer me. As you stand this morning, I don't know where it is that you might be in your walk with God. I don't know what's going on in your life. Don't need to know. Don't have to know, because I really can't do much about it. But pray with you and pray for you. But I want to be the preacher this morning that tells you what thus saith the word of the Lord. God called me out of darkness. Sure, it exposed my faults. My weaknesses became very apparent. It was obvious that I had issues when I stood there in the midst of the light. But I also found a place where I could find the mercies of God to be new every morning. And I'd get up and try, and I'd live for God, and I'd do the best I could, and I'd fail. I'd go to sleep at night and I'd ask God, God, please don't come tonight. I failed you again. Forgive me, God. I'm trying. I'm really doing the best I can. I've done this so long, it's hard for me to figure things out. I get angry so quick, I fall back into old habits so fast. And I'd sleep through the night and wake up the next morning with the sun pouring in through the window of my bedroom and find that God's mercies were new every day. Light, beautiful light. John said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. That's what the Bible says. Those folks that you were talking about this morning, Brother Warren, that continue to walk in darkness, not because they don't know certain things to be true, but they've lied to themselves saying that we're okay being the way that we are, and we can go ahead and we can put on a facade, and we can have a form of godliness. If we say that we have fellowship him, but we still walk in darkness, the word says we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't care what you've done in the dark. I don't care what life has drug you through, what immorality may be in your past hiding away someplace, what skeletons you may have in your dark closet, God says, come here. God say, come here today. Come here. Let there be light. And he will look at the light in your life and he'll say, it's good. And not only will he say it's good, but you'll say, it's good. It's so good to be in the light. You know, when you're told that you have a sickness or an illness by a doctor, the first reaction we have is that, oh no! But then the second reaction is, what can we do to beat this? Don't give up today. God is calling you into the light, the beautiful light that he is. And the darkness will have to flee. One last thing and then I'm going to let you go. We try to live in our darkness and we have all those dark things, and what we try to do is cover it up with more darkness. Well, I'm sad and I'm anxious and I've got this problem. I'm going through a divorce. I've got financial problems. So we drag a big bottle of alcohol into our room. We grab some kind of illicit activity or illicit drug, or we bring it all in to try to numb us away. We try to hide the darkness in our life with more darkness. But Martin Luther King said this: you cannot defeat darkness with darkness. You can only defeat darkness with light. All darkness is the absence of light. I implore you this morning that if you feel like you're in a dark place, maybe it's because we haven't let God in to that place where the darkness is at. And I promise you, if you let him in, the darkness will have to flee, because God is light and in him dwells no darkness. I want you to bow your heads right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I know we've already had folks in the altar today. But I just wonder if there are those here. I've got my eyes closed and I'm not looking around. This is between you and God. If you want to step out of the darkness today and began to walk towards the light, would you just raise your hand toward heaven? Would you just lift a hand? Nobody looking around. This is simply between you and God. All right. Now I want us to pray before we close today, because I believe that the Lord has led you to this church. I'm not the perfect pastor. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor, but I promise you, I'll do everything that I can to make sure that you walk in as much light as is possible. The Lord is in this place right now. Would you just begin to pray with me right now in the name of Jesus? Would you lift your hands right now and ask God? Come on, you're going to just have to open your heart right now to receive some light. It may hurt a little bit. God may speak some things into your life that you really aren't sure if you're ready to hear. The light may be a little glaring for your eyes. Amen. But God wants to bring some things to light in our lives so that he can repair us, so that he can fix us, because he does not want you walking in darkness. Oh, let there be light, beautiful light. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, he is here.